All righty, let's open up to lesson number 6, page number 23. Next week we'll be meeting over on the other side. We're going to be starting the book of Revelation, Lord willing, and digging into
this.
I'm sorry. Let you move your TV over here.
Not that other side, did you? Over there.
Oh, well, it depends on what. Well, it's all right if we meet over on the other side. That's all right, too. We all meet up with the Lord. That'd be good. All right. This lesson here today is actually an article by a former pastor, supporting pastor of ours, Pastor Rick Arrowood. He's retired now. And it's a very good, article, and I hope that as you went through it, you took the time to look up some of the verses. And by the way, that reminds me, if any of you would like this document in Word or in, I also have it on the online Bible, and or not the online Bible, the Word Bible. But you, even if you had a Word document, you can just paste it in there. That's kind of nice because then I could just hover over these things and it brings up all the verses immediately. And that's the nice thing about the Bible program. But as you worked your way through this thing here, he starts out with a great verse there in Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And as we think about this whole article on better communication, I thought, well, this is really something we need, even though it wasn't directly related to communication. It certainly is in many ways because there's the conflicts that we struggle with, and there's going to be times, that all the things we've looked at so far, there's times that we're going to fail in that. And then how do we resolve that? And so here, this really helps us here. And he mentions some of the Bible characters that had conflicts: Cain and Abel, Moses and Pharaoh, and Lot and Abraham, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, and loads more. But just to remind us of the things that we need to be aware of. And then He talks about the opposing ideas, and this is where we can see it fits into lots of categories: disputes, quarrels, disagreements, difference of opinion, antagonism, hostility, falling out, altercation, and shouting match, and wars on words, wars of words, tangle and feud and schism, and so on. All right. So just a good reminder for us of these kinds of issues that we need to deal with. We need to make sure that we deal with these issues and not just ignore them. All right, so the resolution of conflict, as we think about that first, the goal, that ought to be our goal, is always to have restoration. And if we keep that in mind, that will be a big help to us. Anytime we have a conflict, anytime we're trying to resolve something, it ought to have as our goal to be restored. We want to be back into sweet fellowship again. And that's the way it has to be. In order to do that, we've got to follow God's rules in that. And some of these verses here, he says in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, he says if a brother has a conflict there, you need to reconcile with him. Romans 12:18, he talks about living peaceably with all men. Ephesians 2:16, Colossians 1:20 talks about peace through the cross, and Ephesians 2:16 was something related to that. And then the 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 is that we have a ministry of reconciliation. So not only do we have a duty to reconcile with each other when we have a falling out, but we actually have a ministry of reconciling people to God because they've fallen out with God. So just a good reminder to us of these kind of things. And then the foundation of true biblical restoration is salvation through Christ. And, when we stop and think about that, really, that really is the foundation. Because if we have had a falling out with someone, or we're not getting along, or we've had a conflict or a spat or whatever you want to call the thing, whether big or small, there's something standing between us. And so it was with us in Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, paid the debt of our sin, he resolved that issue so that we could have the oneness and peace with him once again. And so that's where it all stems from. Now, the realization of conflict resolution here, that we need to realize that we can avoid it. And we need to be like Christ. And that's the hard part. Christ gives us his example of humility, forgiveness, and love. These other verses here point that out. And we know that to be true. We know that God's a loving God, a God who cares and forgives. And some of the most important verses on reconciliation are those verses where Christ said that we need to forgive like he forgave us. And so there's so much there when we think about that, of forgiving others as he forgave us. And then to realize that sometimes it can't be avoided. You know, and this number two, maybe some of you can help me figure it out. I couldn't really figure out what he was getting across there. He talks about the spirit control of the believer. Anybody figure out what he was after there? That one kind of left me hanging. Any ideas on that?
I think conflict does come, it's like our spirit's being tested in that conflict.
Okay. All right. Yes. He mentions there that the conflict is natural, but it has to be, has been since the beginning of time. But yeah, the whole point there was one that I kind of scratched my head and couldn't really figure out what he was trying to get across in that. Gary?
Yeah, I'm just speculating. Like, maybe he means, he's talking about spirit control of the believer. And maybe he's saying, like, in a sense, you feel like the Holy Spirit's convicting you to talk to the other person about something, and naturally it's a bit conflicting, but it's for a good reason. It's not just to be conflicting in a negative sense, like it's maybe a positive sense. That kind
okay.
of, that's why it can't be avoided, because naturally when you confront somebody, it can be a bit conflicting sometimes, but not
okay.
necessarily.
All right, good.
Also, the heart is desperately wicked in terms of we are inclined to have conflict, people
yeah.
being people.
Yeah.
But we should be have controlled spirits to overcome that, I think.
Okay.
It's not the same as like, I think it's as Goethe said, I know in Afrikaans, but you can get angry, but don't sin.
Okay. All right, so it's dealing with conflicts, but just keeping ourselves the way we ought to be without responding negatively to them. Okay, good. All right, so number three here, realize that you are not always a victim. And that's an important thing, because sometimes people, when they're dealing with conflicts and things of this nature, they just look at, like, I'm being picked on, and, you know, it's woe is me. And it isn't always that. Sometimes we just have to deal with things that come up, and it's not necessarily that we're a victim about it. Then we need to realize that we're not always right or correct or in a correct position. Winning should never be our goal. And, you know, when you think about that, our goal, again, is supposed to be restoration. And it's not about, we can't be restored until you agree that I was 100% right and you were 100% wrong. It's not the idea or attitude that we should have, but to be willing to take our part of the blame, and even if the other person won't admit their part of the blame, we should be like Christ and just humble ourselves. Yes, Garrett.
I kind of mentioned this last time, I think, but it's good, like, if we're in a conflict where we feel the other person's wrong, to then, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we should, like, pray about the situation. But then if we feel that we can't pray about it, we're kind of convicted that, well, I'm actually wrong here too. Because we can't truly pray about the situation, then we're wrong already ourselves, and we should fix our own problem first before constantly just trying to get on the other person. Because, yes, there might be mostly wrong, for example, but we can't deal with that properly if we're not where we're supposed to be either. Because
yeah.
it will just fall as well.
He'll be mentioning some of those verses in the next section here that deal with the mote and the beam. And so we'll further, you know, touch on that in just a moment. But just, you're right. Good. Anything else? Then number five here says, realize that you must always forgive. The verse there again in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We've got to be willing to forgive and to realize that you do not always have a clear, I have to clear your name. That's one that, you know, can be a struggle sometimes. You know, I don't want them thinking that I did wrong in this. And so we're trying to prove ourselves that we didn't do wrong and that we're okay on this. And he's just saying that sometimes it's best we just drop an issue instead of trying to prove ourselves right. Okay. And then realize your justice system can be skewed. You know, what would he mean by that? That your justice system can be skewed.
We often see people on TV saying, "This person killed my relative, and I want justice." But what they mean is they want revenge, not justice. So, if I'm saying justice, I might mean something else other than justice.
Yep, Jeremy.
I think it's like with humans, like our type of thing is like, it's from the perspective of we want to get some sort of satisfaction from them experiencing something because they did something to us. It comes from the point of selfishness, where is in God's justice is like, it's not even necessarily like for his satisfaction or his will. It's just something that he has to do because his character demands it. Mm-hmm. Like, God's not going to send anybody to hell wonder because he enjoys it or it's his will. You know, it's got nothing to do with his personal satisfaction. Whereas if it was us condemning people to hell, we'd be doing it with glee and satisfaction, because that's the corrupt human nature. Yeah. We are incapable of seeing justice in. We want the person to suffer. Our will is for the person to suffer. That's the difference.
Okay, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's true. Anyway. We do have a skewed justice system sometimes.
Yeah. But my point is that God's justice is he will do it just for the sin. Like, he does it because he has to.
He deals with what he knows must be done because of the the crime.
Yeah. In other words, God is not just like me.
Yeah, so good. All right. Garrett, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't see. Like,
as well, like, you might say you're in an argument and you think, okay, well, I'm not going to talk to that person to so they can see that they're wrong, that kind of thing. Like, in your mind, you might think you're doing the right thing because you're helping them see they're wrong or something like that, but that's not the right way of dealing with it. It's just how you think you should deal with it. Mm. Especially when you're like angry at the other person, you don't deal with the biblical way, for example. You deal with your just way, how you think it should be dealt with, which isn't always right.
No, you're right. We often have a selfish way of doing things that isn't the right way of doing things. Okay, sorry?
And even if, and the thing is also we like, God's justice, especially, I mean, on earth, like, when people do things, so oftentimes it's proportional to the thing. You know, like, even, like, you look at the Israelites and they did a certain thing, God would punish them in a certain way. But, you know, the human nature is to, like, our bordering tribe or enemy did this little thing and let's go butcher everybody and rape and pillage. I mean, humans cannot be proportional to a crime. We want the most extreme, even if it's not proportional to the thing that has been done, because it's just our sinful nature.
I think another aspect of this too that we can all be grateful for is God can be just and yet he can be merciful because of what Christ has done on our behalf. God is able to justly forgive because Christ paid the debt for that sin. And so if we will confess our sins to the Lord, then he is able to show mercy that really isn't what we would say would be just. But God's able to show that mercy because of his choice to forgive those who are willing to confess. And so that's another aspect of it too that is a real blessing. Okay, so remembering these biblical truths. Number one there, he says that God created us for relationship. All right, so it's man and God and man for man. And that's very true and important. Then a peacemaker is a biblical role. These verses help us to follow the proper chain of command that God has established. All right, so Matthew 5:9 is the verse where it's the Beatitudes. It talks about being a peacemaker. Right? And then Matthew 18:15-18, that's the passage there where he actually lays out, you know, if someone's got had an offense with you, you need to go and talk to him. And if he won't listen to you, you take somebody with you. And if he won't listen to them, then you bring it to the church. And if he won't listen to them, then he is to be treated like a publican and an unbeliever. And so then in Galatians 6:1, that's the verse. Anybody remember what that verse is about off the top of your head? Galatians 6:1? Okay. No?
Restoring him in spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted.
Okay, so that's the verse that talks about restoring somebody else or helping them to come back to God, but we do so in a spirit of meekness so that we don't trip and do the same thing that they did. So these are just peacemaking verses here he gives us. And then forgiveness is a biblical command. Several verses say if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37 is one of those verses. The verse that he's got here, Mark 11:4, that must be a typo because that one doesn't make any sense. But then Mark 11:26 deals with forgiveness. Yeah, it could be that it was just a typo of some sort, obviously. Okay, and then Matthew 6:15 is if we don't forgive, then God won't forgive us. And those verses that talk about that they are frightening verses when you really think about it. God says if we are not willing to forgive, no matter what the situation is, God's not going to forgive us. And that's a very dangerous situation to be in. And so we need to make sure that we deal with things and not allow bitterness and unforgiveness to pile up in our hearts. And then conflict will only be resolved through communication. And Matthew 7:5 is the verse where he talks about getting rid of the beam that's in your eye so that you can help somebody else pull out the mote that's in their eye. But there's communication involved here. We need to be able to talk it through and work it through. And so, all right, any more thoughts on letter C before we move on to D? John Ray.
I was going to mention, please, where you mentioned the verse about the beam. It's actually interesting because I don't think it's a coincidence Jesus used the size comparison, because oftentimes the person in the room that is the quickest to point out everybody's problems is usually the one who's the most hypocritical and has the most problems in their life, because they're insecure, they know deep down inside that they're the one with the issues, so they feel better. What people oftentimes do is they project their very real issues onto other people. So that's why Jesus said, take the beam out of your own eye and then take the little thing out of the other eye, because that's oftentimes the case.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a coincidence that he made that size comparison.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, I mean, when we think about our own lives, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. And that's true, you know, because we can see issues in somebody else because we know we've got similar issues that, you know, that we don't want to admit. And so and if we point our finger at somebody else, then it kind of takes the focus off of me.
Yeah.
And
there should be, yes.
But
and sometimes, you know, if we're right with God and yet we have some issues, then yes, we should be able to have more empathy. But sometimes there's a temptation to just try to find faults in others to keep the focus off of me, because I don't want people to look at me because I know I got some issues.
I think in the context of people that were pestering Jesus, a lot of them were Pharisees and very religious people who were exactly like that. They were doing a lot of mischievous things behind closed doors and behind the curtains, and they were going around propping themselves up in society. So, I mean, you know, you could also think about that he wasn't necessarily talking to the most God-fearing of people.
Yeah. See, that goes right hand in hand with that one illustration that came up in Jesus' ministry when the woman taken in adultery and Jesus wrote on the ground. Nobody knows what he wrote on the ground, but whatever he did, it was convicting. And the guys that were there left, you know, beginning with the oldest to the youngest. And so some speculate that Jesus was writing different sins that nobody knew about, but he did, and they were hiding. Who knows? But whatever it was convicted them, and they took off and left him. Because... I suppose that's possible, but why would that convict them to leave? Well, that's true, they weren't. But, yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
You could have written down an Old Testament verse where God talks about things or something.
I mean, we could stay here and guess all night. Nobody knows. But whatever it was, it did bring conviction to them.
I read somewhere someone said that he thought he might have been writing down all the girlfriends of the Pharisees.
It could be all kinds of stuff, so we don't know. But whatever it was, we do know that it brought conviction to him. Okay? Now, letter D here. Practical steps to resolve personal conflict. Resolution must be the ultimate goal. And, you know, that's the thing that we really... The whole oversight of this whole lesson here tonight is that point. The resolution must be the ultimate goal. And whether it's between us and our spouse or a neighbor or a work colleague or whatever it may be, we need to strive for resolution to get things right. And we need to identify, first of all, the root problem and then stick to the issue. You know, there's a real temptation in our human flesh if we're trying to resolve an issue between spouses and, you know, to bring up other things, other hurts in the past and other problems and other conflicts instead of just sticking to the issue and getting the single issue dealt with and taken care of. And when we bring up those things in the past, if they've truly been forgiven and we bring them up, we're being wrong. And if they've never been truly forgiven, well, they probably need to be brought up at some time, but perhaps not right in the middle of this one because we're dealing with A. We're not talking about B or C here. We're dealing with A. So, things to deal with. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 is a verse that talks about having no root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. So, something we need to really guard against. Okay, then we need to make sure that we have a clean heart and clean motives. And that goes hand in hand with that verse there that Melody mentioned in Galatians 6:1, to make sure that we're right so that we can be a help to others. And it helps us to just, first of all, get by ourselves, confess any sins on our part, and make sure that our side of this thing is got taken care of. That verse there in Matthew, again, is the one about the beam. Make sure we've pulled the beam out of our eyes so that we can help somebody else. And then confess any way we may have contributed to the problem. We may not have caused the problem, but we may have had some contribution to it. And then to put yourself in the shoes of others. And many, many times that empathy would help us to resolve problems. Because we don't put ourselves in other people's shoes. We only see it from our own view. And then letter three there, to plan time for calm discussion. And the emphasis there on calm. You know, the reconciliation takes time, but it also needs to be calm. And it takes a spiritually mature person to accomplish that. And he's right. It does, because it's not easy to stay calm when things are tense and we're not happy. But we never communicate in the heat of the moment. You know, when the moment's hot, the communication stops, generally.
When it comes to especially when situations are really intense, like in more rare cases where like whatever the thing is, it's really intense. Do you think that can also be partially why he talks about if the situation is not working out, to then get more church participants and then eventually work your way up to the higher authorities in the church? Because at the end of the day, if the situation is really intense, it may be wise to have with you there, maybe some more older, mature Christians in the church to be there to direct it, because they can help you control the situation better than you could yourself.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with what the conflict is. If it's a conflict between you and another person besides your family, then definitely what you said would be helpful. If it's your spouse, you know, that's one of the big problems is many times when there's spouses that are having conflicts, they wait until they're on the verge of going to see a lawyer before they seek any help. And then, but then things have gotten so bad that it's hard to help them. And yet it's humbling to just go see your pastor or some mature Christian and just say, you know, we need to have a talk with you. I need some counsel and guidance. We're having a struggle over this issue and it's causing us trouble and we're not resolving it very well. That is very humbling, but in the long run, it's the best thing for us to just admit that there's a need and seek help. So that is hard, but it's important. We need to commit to the relationship. That's a big one. He used the word there, Matthew 5:9 again. That's the peacemaker verse. But you know, it's also when you think about committing to the relationship, he talks about blaming and manipulating. But there's also another aspect of that commitment is just no matter what, we're not giving up on this. We're going to resolve this. Divorce is never an option, or you know, just whatever the case may be of that nature, breaking the relationship is not the solution. And we're not going to give up on it. We're going to commit to that relationship. And then listen carefully. Once you express your thoughts, listen to the other person's perspective. And that verse there in James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Very, very important in that aspect that we need to listen to each other, because many times, as we talked earlier in the lessons, while the other person is talking and telling their side of the story, we're making our plans on how to give our rebuttal. And that's not listening. We need to listen and then think and take time. And if we need to just say, all right, well, let's just have a break here. I need to have some time to think this through and work it out and then get back and talk about it. But it needs to be done, you know, properly. And dealing with our body language, he says the letter B, and then also with allowing time to heal. All that's going to take time, that listening carefully and being patient. Okay. And then we need to forgive as Christ. And if you haven't already memorized Ephesians 4:32, you really need to do that. That's a key verse there to forgive as Christ forgave us. Very, very important. And if you're ever counseling someone, trying to help them, that's a key verse. And then in Colossians 2:13, he talks about how Christ forgave all of our trespasses. And we need to do the same for others. Sometimes people are saying, well, I'll forgive this and this and this, but I'll never forgive that one. But God doesn't do that to us, and thankfully. If God looked on us and said, well, I'll forgive this, this, and this, but not that one, then we're sunk. And so it is with a relationship. If we don't forgive all, then what hope is there? You know, we leave a person with no hope. Okay. And he gives some pledges here that we could make to dealing with the forgiveness. I promise that I won't bring this up again or use it against you in the future. Very important. I promise that I will not, I am not going to dwell on it in my heart. You know, folks, that's a big one. It's a hard one, but it's important, because if we dwell on it, it's going to just continue to eat at us. It's like a fester. It'll just keep hurting. And you know, the thing that I have found that helps more than anything else in that is to begin to pray for the other person. Not just pray against them or about them, but to pray for them. And God can help us if we pray for that person. He can help us to truly forgive and let it go. And that's a wonderful blessing. The verse there in Proverbs 23:7 is the one where He says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So we just have to have our heart in the right place, because if we dwell on something, it's going to be hard to be able to come back if we've been dwelling on it and not forgiving and forgetting. So once you've resolved it, you've forgiven, and you need to just say, all right, I'm not going to dwell on this anymore. It's finished. It's taken care of. We've resolved it. On with life. And just carry on without going back to it. And then I'm not going to discuss it with others. And that's an important one, especially in this day and age of Facebook and everything else. I mean, so many people, they spread all their troubles to everybody in the world. And they want everybody to know that I'm having problems. And we need to just guard our mouths and our fingers on the text machine. And then I'm not going to let this stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. And a very good pledge there. And I'm going to commit our relationship to prayer. And, you know, keep this thoughts in mind. These five things right here are dealing with forgiveness. You know, once we've forgiven, we need to forgive like Christ and leave it. And remember the verse there in Psalm 103:12 about Christ's forgiveness, or God's forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. He forgives it and he removes it and doesn't bring it up again. And yet the devil is so keen on bringing it up in our minds. It's not the Lord that's bringing it up. If we've confessed something and forsaken it, God says, I've forgiven you. And yet the devil keeps bringing it back up and saying, yeah, what about that thing you did? You know, and he keeps talking to us about it, but God doesn't do that for us. All right. And then number seven, purpose a solution based on the fact that we need each other. All right. Relationship is more important than issue. And, you know, if we would think about that, sometimes people say, I'm not going to give in until they come begging for it, or I won't, and, you know, I'll let the relationship blow apart before I'll humble myself and tell them I'm sorry. Well, that's foolishness. And we need to make sure we value the relationship and value our friendship with others more than we do just our pride. Okay. And then he mentions here the power of the Word of God. As Jeremiah wrote, that the Word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And Paul wrote in Hebrews 4:12 that for the Word of God is quick, or it's alive, and it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right, and the questions tonight were all very personal questions, so we're not going to delve into them, but I do hope that you'll go through them. If there's things that need resolved, I hope that you'll deal with them. And, you know, and keep these things in mind. You know, and I hope that you will hang on this booklet, and when you're facing issues or you're facing conflicts, that you'll get it out and go back over it again. And remember that God's solutions are for our good. And God gives us those solutions because he loves us. And he wants us to have good relationship with each other. And so, I encourage you to use it in your own relationship, and then use it to help other people. You know, when you find somebody that is going through a hard time and they start pouring out their woes on you, and you say, hang on now, we just need to be able to work at helping you resolve this thing. And then pull out your book and go through it with them. And that's an excellent thing to do. And so I challenge you to just use it as a tool. Use it as a help in your own life. But just don't forget it. And don't just throw it in a corner and forget all about it. But to hang on it, because that's going to be a help to you in the years to come.